my name on the back of my belt. Believe there's a God to save me from hell. And dirt roads are made for country boys like me.
They took her baby.
Don't believe in politically correct.
She had her baby.
If you want a piece of me,
CPS took it.
Better have a set. A rifle and a four-wheel drive is all I need.
Okay, let's get me a rhythm.
January.
Nelson's gonna let him bleed today. He's going into shock.
And it's good for you. Take your Terramax today.
President business enveloped by a cloud of drones descending from the sky.
That's the most disorganized.
I would never let my kids read Chronicle SU.
Yep, I said, Nelson's bleeding today.
And I said right to the camera, stop it.
Hold it, mate.
Run, please.
You want to do this right now?
I write to the propaganda for the right wing.
You are fake news.
And I smoke in the weed.
You're gonna get this Terramax out. You're gonna live a clean life.
Yes, I go into a dissociative state because
you're tuned in to Hate Radio, broadcasting all across the galaxy. Break out the Terramax and put your kids to sleep. Here's your host, Hate Set.
Ain't no such thing as a pop filter where I come from, baby. Why you want to filter the pop? Boy, where I come from, we pop the pussy. We drank soda pop. Alright. Well, that's only popping we do, but unless we go to a party where shit's popping. Alright, let's not do that anymore. You're listening to Hate Radio? Internet Chronicle Radio Hate is the hatest half hour on the internet, which is probably all you're going to get today, because it's just me, HateSec. Okay, we don't have Kilgore, we don't have the disembodied female voice with us this evening. What we do have is look back at the headlines. Good God, this is going to be a shitty show. Alright, look, I'm not going to lie to you, okay? Old HateSec has to get up early in the morning. Alright. My heart's not in it. Okay? No, I'm just kidding. My heart is totally in it. I've been busting my fucking ass for this website. I'm sorry if my language is a bit ugly. Alright? But I got my face buried in a pop filter right now. And it gets me fucking so full of rage. Why? Because it's not a beautiful lady's pussy. It's a fucking pop filter. Look, we're all journalists here. Okay? This is the Internet Chronicle. I'm HateSec. We're gonna talk about headlines tonight. We're gonna tell some funny stories. We're gonna talk about the Internet Chronicle. But first things first, I want to we're gonna take a quick moment of silence for the 250,000 stillborn deaths of the infants that died in South Carolina, that Liebel Droker dumped all that stuff in the river. Okay, it went down the river and it killed all those people in another state. This moment of silence, we were supposed to do it like two nights ago or something, and we didn't do it. So we're doing it now, and I want you to think about what Liebel Droker did to them beautiful unborn babies. What did we do to the beautiful babies? How long was that? 15 seconds? That's enough. Kilgore wanted 30, but 15's good. What should we do first? Headline? Okay, well, let's talk about the old Internet Chronicle. For 11 years, we've been bringing you truth, and today's no different. Today's top story, newly discovered cave paintings depict ancient lives of intense boredom on Internet Chronicle. It was not all that long ago that fire and wildlife meant everything to mankind. That's all we had. But just because we're not into that boring shit anymore doesn't mean we can't still pretend to appreciate 35,000-year-old cave paintings. Is that not fair? Before Seamless.com, people had to go out and sustain themselves through hunting, fishing, or gathering, or what the fuck ever they were doing. Well, they weren't ordering it on a phone. You know, the Cro-Magnons. They just weren't smart. Like, they didn't have iPhones like us. And the Neanderthals were not much better. Fucking idiots didn't even have BlackBerry yet. But according to Dr. Man Lee Trubadox of the Liebel-Droker Institute for Cellular Data Technology, he and his team of nameless indigenous children recently discovered a swath of cave paintings that revealed just how boring life used to be way before the newly refined iPhone X. I believe that's the 10th generation iPhone. They want it to be like Generation X. Troubadour says, "We listen to consumers and wish to assure you the new features contained in the iPhone X Plus will piss on Samsung's barbaric emoji keyboard, as Calvin would defiantly piss upon a Ford icon, or, if you're a Jeff Gordon fan, a Chevrolet bow tie. My team attempted to downvote every painting on the cave walls, whether it was for lack of attention to important details, details we felt were important, or the artist failed to capture the aesthetic that a Snapchat filter might have otherwise offered, or for other reasons, like if the painting was offensive, off-topic, or painted in the wrong sub-cave. This is important if you're going to submit a cave painting to Reddit, that it be submitted to the correct subreddit and in the correct format as the mods see fit, whoever they are. They think they're important. Dude, Reddit mods think they're so fucking important. While the Android world is making strides in everyday camera technology, it took hundreds of thousands of years for cave paintings to move away from uninteresting tales about hunter-gatherer lifestyle and into cool shit like marking the sudden appearances of supernovae." Those are, for the ignorant fuckers listening, star explosions that were once inaccurately attributed to God before woke-ass fuck cave painters like Banksy could hear Carl Sagan auto-tuned and lay it all out there. Is that what you say, lay it all out there? No, you say lay it all on the line, or you put it all out there. You don't say lay it all out there. But as everyone knows, even a star exploding in the daytime sky looks boring as shit on a cave wall. I want to see pictures. Or it didn't happen. Though we're likely 2 months out from seeing the next iPhone, Trubadox and his team are working tirelessly to scan and publish cave paintings, as if they are even remotely worth looking at when there's so much cool stuff happening right now on Instagram. Have you seen Joe Rogan's Instagram? Troubadour says, "Instagram pictures aren't just square anymore. The introduction of rectangles to the platform has revolutionized the way people share. We hope to recreate some of these paintings for upload to Instagram, where they can be dismissed with the same apathy as the uninspired, insipid, low-resolution shit already on there. We want these cave paintings treated like pictures of your slutty friends and stuff. Jerk off to them and move on. The caves, after being documented, will be demolished to make way for a planned 2021 extension to Short Pump Mall in Richmond, Virginia." I can't wait to see what they do with that mall. It's going to be... it's already a very large outdoor mall. But with the discovery of these cave paintings and tunnels, it was realized that Short Pump needed to expand to cover these up. I think that land originally belonged to the Native Americans. Well, I mean, like this whole fucking place, right? But specifically, that was kind of theirs, too. Like, even after all the shit was done. But it was a pretty sweet fucking marsh, too. And, wouldn't you know it, made a great place for a mall. There's Kroger down the road, Dave and Buster's across from there. There's another Kroger. Let's get into headlines. This is a hell of a show so far. Later on in the show, we've got Internet Chronicle tips, guidelines for safe news reporting. This is for all the journalists out there who are listening. We're all journalists here at Chronicle.su. We know a lot of journalists are listening right now, and you'd like to know, how do I get the hard-hitting, investigative news journalism like I see at Internet Chronicle? Because every day we're coming out of the gates with fake news boot camps. You know, we're bringing you exclusives, exclusive interviews even with QAnon, for example. As you heard the other night, he was on our show. The creator of 8chan, we were there when he went missing, and we brought you first-hand accounts of his absence. Google Glass. Dr. Troubadour's summer health tips for an alpha male physique were on the cusp of knowledge. And you want to be too, which is why you listen to this show. So I'm really excited about the Internet Chronicle guidelines for safe reporting we have coming up. But first, headlines. This is some shit right out of the Internet Chronicle, by the way. Christopher Robin, the Winnie the Pooh film. I guess it's called Christopher Robin. I don't know. I haven't followed that shit since ever. Like, even when I was 5, Winnie the Pooh felt patronizing and young, right? But anyway, Christopher Cockface, Winnie the Pooh film, is not going to come out in China because Winnie the Pooh resembles the Chinese leader. I guess. So what's happening in China, what's really happening, is that Winnie the Pooh, I feel like, I don't know if, okay, so what happened was Winnie the Pooh became a meme, and it was probably pretty small, and then I feel like Winnie the Pooh was a meme in China. They say that he looks like their leader or whatever, so they would put the shit that he does, like, on the meme. You know how image macros work. And, John Oliver on HBO brought everybody's attention to it, and then I think it became too big, right? So now in China, Winnie the Pooh is not even going to come out. You have to go through China if you want to release anything. Like when Eve Online wanted to go to China, they have to go through some kind of special committee that has to approve it, which is why EVE Online was so behind on updates in China. The Chinese shit, bots were running rampant, real money trading. Basically, every update that America got was another published loophole in the deprecated code used in China, because every game update had to also be submitted through the committee. They don't give a fuck that they already approved the game. The idea is that, well, you could introduce new content into the game that could be subversive or whatever, so you can't publish it. You were lucky that we accepted the fucking game, you know? And that became so problematic for them that they actually handed the game off to some other company, which I believe is not going to work out, and they're just going to shut it down, and even China is going to be over soon. Which, if you've been listening to the show, EVE Online is already over. For me, I'm on a healthy path now. Okay, I only drink water and beer, and that's it. I'm old, hate sex, eating healthier, and this is all because of whatever. Here's another one. The U.S. doesn't want to. Oh wait, so should we go into this China story a little bit more? Chinese authorities were already blocking pictures of Winnie the Pooh on social media. They didn't much care for him on Twitter or whatever the fuck they use over there. They have some kind of special thing. It's called Wii something. I don't know. But they don't like him, so they're blocking him on social media. And they're probably keeping track of the instances that they blocked and the people who posted them. A lot of peas in this, getting filtered by the pop filter. on Internet Chronicle Hate Radio. I'm HateSec. You're listening to Radio Hate. So, apparently this went back as far as 2013. And one of them says, like, Chinese internet users for the win. And it's a picture of Eeyore shaking Winnie's hand as the Chinese president shakes some other fucker's hand. And everybody's like, oh my god, it's just like whatever. Prime Minister Shinzo. I just clicked like on it. Alright. At least here in the United States, you can post anything looking like anyone and get away with it. That's pretty cool. You wouldn't be able to listen to this show. We wouldn't be running this show. We'd be running a fucking poultry shop or something instead. There would be no Chronicle. So, United States and Canada, usually are pretty cool, right? Because, we're trying to be anyway. We're their Mexico. And Canada looks at us, they're like, ooh, hope they don't start swarming in. That's not my joke. I added the second half of it, but the premise is not my premise. But this story is everyone's premise, because we're living it right now. This is the news. This is the weekend headlines. And so Canada and the United States are parting ways when it comes to Saudi Arabia's human rights violations, the way they're always hurting women and also just regular cool people that probably were just trying to get fucked up and have sex with each other. The U.S. government is not going to help Canada, because there's some kind of diplomatic crisis that Canada and Saudi Arabia are having on account of Saudi Arabia's human rights record. Canada doesn't much care for the way Saudi Arabia behaves, and they can take that stance because they don't have oil investments in it like the U.S. does. Or maybe they do, but they don't give a fuck. On Tuesday, a U.S. State Department spokeswoman, speaking at a media briefing in Washington, would not publicly condemn Riyadh's arrest of civil rights activists in the Mideast Kingdom, as Canada did last week. Okay, so that's what's going down. We can't do it for them, she said. Sorry, no. We can't do it for them. This is so fucking stupid. I shouldn't even be reading this. Reuters reported today that Saudi Arabia is stopping all medical treatment programs in Canada and is working on the transfer of all Saudi patients from hospitals there. That's nuts. That's weird. That's a weird response. What the hell? Okay, and they also expelled the Canadian ambassador. Froze new trade? Alright, so they're lashing out because Canada said some shit about their human rights stuff. And this is what the diplomats brought us to, right? So this was their best efforts. They thought, we gotta do something and say something to Saudi Arabia about the way they're treating their people, because it's unethical for us to continue to support that regime and hold that up. We gotta say something. And so Saudi's like, nope, you guys can go fuck yourselves. No more trade. As a matter of fact, we don't even want our people receiving your free medical care. Rip them out of there, bring them back to the desert, go fuck yourselves. The United States says, we can't back you up on that. Where was Saudi Arabia on this one? You guys need any help ripping brown people out of hospitals? Because we're pretty good at that right now. That's whole Hate Sec's hot take. That's a Internet Chronicle hot take by Hate Sec. A French park is training crows to pick litter up out of the park. They want cigarette butts and stuff, because you know how much French people smoke. They're just throwing their fucking cigarettes down. So they've got to send these six trained crows. This is what happens when I drink on the podcast. They're sending six trained birds. These are crows. They're sending out a murder to pick up cigarette butts, picking up fags off the grass in a French park. And also little pieces of trash and stuff. Wait, somebody said something funny in that, about that friend, that Chinese president, though, that I wanted to read. This is Dictatorship 101. They said, step one, be a little bitch. This is referring to, we're back to the Chinese president now, looking like Winnie the Pooh. And banning Winnie the Pooh. Step one, be a little bitch. Step two, ban people for calling you a little bitch. Step three, ban people who have a problem with you banning people. Step four, impose a crazy-ass social scoring system and futuristic bounty-hunting cops like Black Mirror. Yeah, so I wonder how that's working out in China. Because it was big news when it came out. Everybody said it's going to be just like Black Mirror. But I don't know what it is yet. I'm excited to see what happens there. So these six crows are in a French park cleaning up trash. They're going to reward the birds. They're going to come back with cigarette butts. And they're going to be like, yeah, okay, here's your little red wiggler or whatever. Each time they deposit a cigarette butt or a tiny piece of trash. Dude, they're just going to put rocks and shit in there. But anyway. When they stop the program, you can bet your ass those birds are not going to know what to do with the cigarette butts. No, they'll take the birds back too. But maybe they'll fuck while they're out in the park. And they'll reproduce and they'll show their kids how to get the food. That would be badass. The other crows start doing it because they see these crows doing it or something. Okay, and then I shouldn't have started reading this news because this stuff is depressing. In Thailand, they're saying, don't ride the elephants anymore. Because they're fucking torturing the elephants from birth. Okay, they get shithead white tourists coming from Alabama that's already rode everything they got in the southeast, and they wanna ride them something exotic. So they torture these fucking elephants from the time they're babies until they die, right? Like, they never stop torturing them. I'm not even trying to be a hippie about them saying that, like, training an animal's torture. I think they're literally torturing them. And starving them and stuff. And then they start the training. But just because the training has started, that doesn't mean that, like, the torture ever stops. Because apparently these elephants need to be reminded every so often that they're, you know, that they're just whatever. And you torture them. So this is going on. They don't want they're trying to tell people, like, stop riding elephants. Which I never even met anyone that rode a fucking elephant in Thailand. When I hear about somebody going to Thailand, about an American or whatever, I don't think they're riding elephants, dude. I think they're riding fucking, you know, the second class citizens over there that are human trafficked into their fucking hotel rooms. And maybe they ride elephants, too. Now I think they're also riding the elephants. So, this is just a public service announcement from the Internet Chronicle. Don't ride elephants in Thailand. Maybe, you know what? Maybe don't ride elephants anywhere. Because they're fucking... You don't want somebody riding you, right? Like, we don't have to subjugate them, so why should we? Like, I don't have a taste for elephant. Do you guys eat elephants? None of us are eating elephants, right? We really don't need to be fucking with elephants. Maybe also don't destroy their habitats, but... I think that's covered by leaving elephants the fuck alone. Like, you're supposed to leave any animal alone. Sunday is weekend headlines, which is why we're doing this. It's fucking stupid. But it's not nearly as stupid as this next headline. The Puerto Rican government... I had to dig to get this from the New York Times. Because every title about this story... The only reason it's even a story I'm reading is because clickbait made it a story. This actual story seems to not have any effect on the outcome, but it's a good example of the way non-stories become stories. The Puerto Rican government I'm going to tell you the headline that I read first, and then I'm going to read you the real headline. Puerto Rican government quietly acknowledges hurricane death toll of 1,427 people were claimed in Hurricane Maria last year. Was that last year? Yeah, that's September. It knocked out power on September 20th. Okay, so the headline in the New York Times, same fucking headline, they just removed the... There was not the word quietly. They added the word quietly in the dog shit I read previously. So the actual headline is, Puerto Rican government acknowledges hurricane death toll of 1,427. That's it. Sounds like a regular old news headline, where things are different now. And why dramatize it with quietly? Because you want clicks. You say quietly acknowledges hurricane death toll of 1,427. I bet the people that were tricked into clicking that shit, you could have written 27 and they wouldn't have known that, you know, that there was any difference, because the official number was 64. It was so low that you would think that they weren't getting funding, that that would be why this is a story. Wow, it was 64 once and now it's 1,427. That seems like a whole fucking lot more, right? 1,300 more. But no. They requested $139 billion in recovery from the government, which they need. This is no small thing. But only, but they, you know, we were to believe that only 64 people died in that? When they made that giant request for money? No, dude. It doesn't fucking matter. I mean, that's a lot of people and it's tragic. But it's not going to add any more billions in recovery money. They already made that request. And so what this story is about is, I mean, I had to read the entire article top to bottom twice to make sure I wasn't missing anything. And all it's about is that the official count was wrong, and that in the end, it was math. It showed that 1,427 was a vast discrepancy in the number of deaths, both that island was expecting that year and that was actually reported. So there you go. Problem was, the coroner, you know, if somebody got electrocuted during the storm because they were out like ankle deep in water trying to start a generator or whatever, that person was, he was not a casualty of the hurricane. That was death by electrocution. And so all the ways that people were dying, this guy fell under a tree or whatever, like everything was very so specific. And that there was no asterisk or anything like that where it was like hurricane death. Well, 64 people who died from the hurricane death were probably literally out in the wind and got blown up against something or drowned or some shit like that. I've lived through 6 hurricanes myself, and people died in them. I think there was only one that nobody died through. And it was not the strongest hurricane. It was like it was still a hurricane, but there was only injuries. I say when I don't know what to say. I'm like that Google assistant. They trained it to say while it's processing. Like it's literally while the processor is thinking, it's going I swear to God, man, people were saying that that's no big deal. You know, don't act so huffy because just because you're taking a phone call from a computer, don't act like it's like you're still making a reservation for a human. So shut the fuck up, servant. No, dude, it's the insincerity and the it's disingenuous to be on the phone with this fucking thing and it's pretending to be a person. Like, even mimicking the, so you don't know. That's, you know, that's deceptive. You're not talking to a fucking person. You're talking to some computer, right? If this person really wants the invitation or the, what do you call it, a reservation, don't send your fucking robot to do it. Call me, and I'll do it. Like, I don't even work in the food service industry, and I'm indignant for these people. I've never had to take a... No, wait, no. I worked at a I worked at a Little Caesars for a couple weeks. And this reminds me that there was another part of the story. There's another part of the podcast tonight that we have to do. I was supposed to tell a story about a bad date story, but this one is even better. This is a bad relationship story. And this is what we'll go out on. This has been many years ago. I was a boy in college. Or just out of college, like I was taking some time off or something and just getting my stinger wet, right? And look at me now, okay? I'm selfish, I'm unhinged, I'm not, my priorities are all fucked up, you know? Okay, so imagine me 10 years ago. Things were working out. I had a shared bank account with this chick. She took all my money and was seeing other dudes and fucking buying a bunch of drugs and stuff for different people. Herself, she said it was for her brother. I don't think it was even for her brother. Pretty sure it was for the dude that, and, right, so, and I had no money. Which is no big deal. I've been broke before. But I had just moved. I had no money, and I had just moved to her city. And I was meant to stay there, because when you're young, right, you make a big step like that. You've got to carry it out, or else people are going to be like, oh, you failed, you dumb fuck, you failed. And I wasn't ready to go back and face failure. So I was going to stick this thing out. And I got a job at a Little Caesars. I gotta take a sip of my beer. And I was working with sex offenders. I was working with rapists who were also sex offenders. And Ryan, I'd be trying to make dough or something. I didn't even know how to make dough. I'd be making it for the first time, right? Never fucking done it. I'm rolling it around in my hands and shit. Some guy comes up to me. He's like, man, and he starts telling me a story. Like, I didn't even know she was underage, you know? I'm just like, dude, let me make my fucking dough here, you know? And I'd be, I remember one time I was eating the pizza. I was like, is this real food? And somebody said, like, dude, you need to slow down. But it was a shithole, right? It was an awful job. But I'll tell you this, if I ever picked up the phone and it was a fucking robot, I would hang up on it. If it goes, I would throw it a curveball. I'd be like, you know, who won the whatever championship in 2007, the World Series? And see what it said, and be like, all right, go fuck yourself. Because it would have to say something. Even if a person doesn't know, they're going to say something like, you know, they would challenge the premise of the question, whereas I think the robot would just be like, I'm sorry, what was that? You're a replicant, get the fuck out. But where was I going with that story? Well, dude, I would hang up on a robot. I hung up on fucking people that were starting to put their order in, and I'm just like, no, I hate making that pizza. I hung up on them. There was one that I really hated. Oh, it was stuffed crust pizza. That was so fucking stupid, man. You had to actually roll the cheese into the dough. Like, when I saw those commercials, I was a kid ordering stuffed crust pizza. I thought a fucking machine was making all that shit. If I had known it was people, I would have been grossed out. All right. But there was a point of that to that story. What was it? It was just a shitty relationship. No, it was a good relationship. Actually, it was great. There was a lot of good times. But when you're young like that, you know, you fuck up. You live and learn, man. I don't know how those high school sweethearts end up together. And they get old together and die together. My first girlfriend, she was cool as shit because she had good parents. Like, her parents were loving and stuff, but they were high school sweethearts. And I couldn't... I just couldn't fathom it. Because... like, I saw them as high school sweethearts, and I'm like, yeah, we don't have that. the magic of their relationship, like, it can't even grow from this concrete of a foundation that we have together. All right, we're all journalists here. And our work intersects with hard news gathering all the time at the Internet Chronicle. And that's why tonight we'd like to impart onto you, the listeners, guidelines for safe reporting. And this is how to go out into the world and gather news effectively. We have three easy tips, and if you just follow these and never forget them, and always do them when you're out in your reporting, you'll do well, okay? Internet Chronicle guidelines for safe reporting. Guideline number one for crime scene reporting. This one about crime scenes. Don't be afraid to get your hands dirty. Get in there, take your photographs, get a quote from the criminal before the police can stuff him into his car. And by all means, try to find out what they want. This is true of all hostage situations. That's a good tip. That's number one. Tip number two. If there is a victim, which there so often is in the news, their names are not always readily available, as a lot of you might have noticed. So here's what you do. You stalk social media posts for hashtags, look for geographic keywords. If there was a stabbing, that's an easy keyword, because how many people are going to type stabbing from Wyoming, right? So it's pretty easy. Look for these clues as to who to interview. And while it's true that if it bleeds, it leads, there's another old adage that you don't always hear. And what you don't always hear is, if it cries, it flies. Find the crying person. And tip number three, hold your camera phone sideways. Of course. But don't forget to stuff it right in your subject's fat fucking face. They might not owe you an explanation, but make them say that to your phone. I dated this other chick. She was the granddaughter of... Now, she never stole my money. She actually made a really funny joke. She was the granddaughter of an Enron employee. And I met her. We were just supposed to meet on Craigslist and fuck. Okay, but we ended up fucking and then having a 2-year relationship. And, the funny joke she told real quick was, somebody was like, what do you see in James? Which is a fair question, because I was of that age where I too was wondering, what do you... And she said, she's just in it for my money, which was hilarious, because I was a broke piece of shit all the time. To be young again. She was the granddaughter of an Enron employee, and I used to go and hang out with her grandma. And her grandma had this sweet fucking house, like, on the river, and it had a marina, and, I would just go over to her grandma's, and her grandma would give me this quiche. She'd make quiche for me. And I've always been friends with old people, like old, especially old women. And so this old Enron lady would make me quiche. Her husband, I don't know what happened with him. They got to keep their house, though. And then he died. He probably died from the fucking stress. She'd make me quiche. Said I reminded her of her husband. She liked to say that when she was sucking my cock. And no, that never happened. I don't think I could even get hard for an old woman. Even if she only wanted to suck my dick. Well, maybe if she just wanted to suck my dick, but if I had to fuck her, no way. I'd have to be so drunk. I mean, I could drink the rest of these beers and not be drunk enough to fuck an old woman. I mean, it really depends on the woman, too, though. She's like a gym rat. Dude, I'd totally go for it. I remember being little, and my mom would hang around the house in her underwear, because it would be hot, you know, we poor, have no air conditioning, she'd be in her underwear, and my friends came over, and finally somebody said, dude, your mom is hot, and she overheard that, and started putting clothes on. She was an attractive lady, though, in her day. She really had it going on. Look, this is Hate Radio. Radio Hate is brought to you proudly by HateSec, Legal Joker Incorporated. Enron is our sponsor tonight. Now, they can't sponsor anybody anymore. No, but they are our sponsor anyway. I made a joke at the beginning of the show about all those stillborn kids that died in South Carolina. We had a moment of silence for them, in fact. And during that moment of silence, yes, I did get high. But that joke is actually based in truth. And when I was 18 years old, I came across this old white building with a perfectly manicured lawn overlooking the James River in Richmond, Virginia. And something told me this place is probably not cool. But I was on their lawn, nonetheless. And this is before smartphones. All I had was a flip phone. There was nobody to call. There was no way to figure out where I was. But I hit the buzzer. And the doorman answered. And I said, "What do you have to say for yourself?" He's like, "What?" And I had this interview with the doorman through the intercom on the door. He was nowhere to be seen. He was deep in the bowels of that building. And I was just standing at the door. And I found out later that that building where I was standing was the, I forgot the name of the corporation now, but they were responsible for about 200,000 or 300,000 stillbirths in South Carolina after dumping in Virginia. It went, you know, in a river all the way down through North Carolina, all the way into South Carolina. And for whatever reason, maybe South Carolina was the first town on that body of water. But the town in South Carolina, they just couldn't get a birth. Women were drinking the water, and it had chemicals in it that was killing their babies while they were in their womb. All right, so they're all giving birth to dead babies, or maybe their baby's sick, and then it dies as they give birth to it. This happened more than 200,000 times to this company. And the company, it killed the company. And here's why. It was not because of what they did was so horrible, which it was, but it's because of how they handled it. They denied that it ever happened. Instead of saying, like, "We're sorry, we fucked up, here's your payout," or "We're sorry, we fucked up, we're not going to do it again," they denied it ever happened. It's taught in schools as a PR disaster now. And I was standing on the lawn of this shell of the company. All they had left was that house where I was standing. And it had the name of the company on the plaque where I buzzed at the intercom. And the guy told me it was a chemical company, and I asked, "What kind of business are they in?" And I had a notepad with me. I remember I was walking around the city just taking notes about what I saw when I was 18 years old. And I have that notepad. It's sitting right here on my desk. It actually still has room in it. That's why I brought it. And Ethel. It was the Ethel Corporation. That's the name of it. Ethel Corp. Look up Ethel Corporation. E-T-H-Y-L. And you can learn all about that. All right. We're out of time. Hate Radio is brought to you proudly by the Ethel Corporation, Label Joker Incorporated, Hate Sec, the Internet Chronicle, Chronicle.su. Radio Hate is the hatinest half hour on the internet. We got way more than that tonight, though, even without Kilgore. Dude, I wish Kilgore was here, because he would have had a lot of funny shit to say about the headlines. Anyway, that's it. That's the Hate Show. Get out of here. Go fuck yourselves. I'll see you tomorrow.